College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Texans have clinched at least the 4 seed in the AFC. They will get a home game to open the playoffs against whom we don't know. That'll play out over the next few weeks. They could improve their spot in the AFC. We'll go through the chances of that happening, what would need to happen here, in as simple and radio-friendly and driving into work-friendly a way as possible.
But here, hypothetically, say it in a way that maybe Seth would understand.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good litmus test.
I'm going to pretend that I'm not 100% dialed in on all the different permutations.
There you go.
Yeah, pretend.
I guess the good news for simplicity's sake.
Thanks a lot, Sean.
Yeah.
You jerk.
The good news is there's almost no chance that they are going to be the number one or the number two seed.
Thank goodness. Yeah, I was afraid that I was going to have to worry about that scenario.
Zero. Literally, I'm seeing on all the sites that there's a 0%. Even though they play the Chiefs head to head, and they are it's a 0% chance. The Chiefs have one loss. The Texans have 4 or 5. So there's no chance. Less than 1% chance they get the 2 seed because that's Buffalo right now, and they're a couple games ahead of the Texans, and they've got a really easy schedule the rest of the way. Before we get into the scenarios, here is D'Amico Ryans on possibly improving their playoff seeding.
Yeah, for us, we still take it 1 week at a time. Even though we've clinched the AFC South, it still doesn't change our approach. When we line up and play, we're still trying to improve as a football team in all areas and try to play our best ball, you know, when playoff time hits. So we're trying to still improve, still do our best.
I think that, you know, a lot of times people wonder whether that's just coach speak or not. And I think it was DJ Bienname yesterday in the press conference said, "Coach, you claimed you don't know the playoff scenarios." And D'Amico, he said it in a funny way.
Who asked that?
Was it DJ?
I think it was DJ. I didn't hear who you said.
I think it was DJ Bienname.
He's the voice of the voiceless. That's what I want to know, man. Well, you know my skepticism.
D'Amico insisted he really didn't. I don't really care whether D'Amico does or not. I think that when it comes to the message to the players, right now the team, there's no reason any of the players on the team right this moment need to be one bit concerned about playoff scenarios, because I think all of them are aware that they need to be a better football team than what they've been the sum total of the season, offensively especially. So there are enough challenges right in front of them, one being Patrick Mahomes himself, that I don't think you have to worry one bit about the playoff scenarios. Know that you're in. Know that you're going to have a home game. Fine. You can make plans for your family and everything, but the rest of it is, look, you got the Chiefs in front of you, and we're not going to talk about it, but then 5 days later you've got the Ravens. Okay, let's worry about right now.
And
I think it's an easy sell,
and that's the thing too, is, you know, they can't get the number one seed. To get to the 2 seed, they need to win out. The Bills would need to lose 2 out of 3 to a bad rest of the schedule, and the Bills have something to play for. They're 2 games back of the Chiefs, who now, you know, who have had damaged Patrick Mahomes, but they got the head-to-head against the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. So if they can get into a tie with the Chiefs, they could get the bye in the first round, which is hugely, hugely valuable. So I don't think the Texans are getting to the 2. To get to the 3 seed, the Texans would need to win 2 out of 3 and have one of those wins be over Baltimore.
Yeah.
And then the Ravens
would have to be over Baltimore.
It would have to be over Baltimore. And then the Ravens, one of the wins would have to be over Baltimore. And then the Ravens would need to beat the Steelers. So that according to the computers, there's a 22% chance of that happening.
Okay.
So there is a nearly 80% chance this is where they're going to be.
22% is my very realistic. That's always, if I'm playing Russian roulette with a revolver,
I'm nervous. Like, ah, 22%, I'm a little
scared. It's better than, like, 1 in 6 is,
this might be it.
That's worse. That's a better chance than 1 in 6, you know, the 22%. So,
I do wonder, I'm very anxious to see how, if indeed the 4 seed is probably where they're going to be. And as they play more games, you know, as they play the Chiefs, we're going to have a clear idea. Not just play the Chiefs, but as next weekend plays out with everybody ahead of them, we're going to have a real clear picture going into Christmas Day, I think, as to where this Texans team stands. I am anxious to see, and I know you don't want them to, But I'm anxious to see if they manage this Ravens game in a certain kind of way.
Right.
With it be, if they were playing the Ravens the following Sunday, I wouldn't be saying this. But the fact that it's 4 days after playing the Chiefs, the fact that it's a short week like that in week 17, I'm not saying do it. I'm just anxious to see if there's certain guys, like if they just, hey, look, Nico, you know, maybe sit this one out. You know, they kept Nico out a little longer than they might have needed to earlier this season when the games actually still meant something. You know, if that Ravens game means very little on Christmas Day, I'm not recommending doing it one way or the other, but I could see them picking a couple of, I mean, you can only make seven guys inactive, I think, or six guys or whatever it is. So there may be some inactive guys and then maybe a couple de facto inactive guys.
I think that I don't think they rest people, but they'll probably be pretty conservative. You can't treat it like a playoff game where, hey, if we lose you for the year, it might not matter anyway, so we need you out there.
You're in.
We're going to have these games. Yeah. It's not one and done, so you got to be conservative there.
And D'Amico is an admitted injury recovery prioritizer.
Is there a scenario where it matters for the Ravens but not the Texans?
Yeah, they're battling for that division right now.
So it totally matters.
Yeah.
It'll likely matter for the Ravens no matter what.
For sure, yeah.
It definitely will. Yeah.
It definitely
will. So, there's a part of that. One is, like, A, it's a football game. Let's show up and play. B, though, man, if you're resting people and the Ravens are playing for a game that matters, like, do you really want to go in and lay down and have that psychological burden on you potentially going into it, perhaps seeing them 2 weeks later?
That's tricky, man. Like, because it runs against every fiber of the swarm mentality to do that.
Yeah.
And yet, like, as I just said, D'Amico is a guy who has, whenever he's asked about injuries, he always talks about how conservative they are and how much they prioritize the health of their players.
You know how the Navy SEALs never leave a man behind.
Right.
Somebody they're gonna do whatever they can to bring that body back. I think D'Amico would full bore. You could totally see D'Amico as a guy that might be a Navy SEAL, you know?
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of us as football fans that are kind of like, he'd have understood, right? We gotta get the hell out of here. Can't be carrying this guy over a mountain. We got to go.
We gotta go.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the analytics. Yeah.
That's how that feels.
Ten
a little
of us
bit.
Are gonna die.
D'Amico's out there like, no, swarm mentality. We never leave a game behind.
Never leave a game behind.
The chopper's waiting, man.
Yeah,
let's get the hell out of here.
I'm curious what the people want to do, especially if they've got tickets to go to that game on Christmas Day. Now, you do get to see a Beyonce concert. There's a lot of strange variables with all the decisions that go into this.
And not to mention the whole dynamic with everything circling around Beyonce's life right now.
Yeah, yeah.
None of it involving her.
No.
Right? That's good, yeah.
No.
There hasn't been a hint of that.
No, thank God. So everything's kind of set, though, in the AFC, man. Like, you get the three wildcard teams. The worst of the three wildcard teams are the Chargers. They're 8-6. The next closest teams are the Dolphins and the Colts are 6-8. So I think we've got, and the Bengals are 6-8 as well. The Bengals are interesting. The Bengals are that team, like, if they sneak in, nobody wants to see them because they can hang 40 on you with Joe Burrow. You know, they'll just get into a track meet. They're kind of like the Rams in the NFC, where if they get in, it's like, oh, crap, we got to pay Matthew Stafford and Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, Kyron Williams. They can do some things. I'm kind of hoping the Texans catch either the Broncos or the Chargers in that wild card game, as opposed to either the AFC North teams.
And not that we're sleeping on any of these teams right now.
No. I think D'Amico will have something for Bo Nix and Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially Bo Nix.
I had an idea for a movie scene as we were talking about Russian roulette.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how I could dupe somebody into playing Russian roulette with a Glock. Like it's not a revolver. When the bullet's coming in
with the Glock.
Yeah, yeah. As
this
opposed
is what
to a
popped
revolver.
In your head just now while we're doing
no,
the show.
While we were talking about Russian roulette.
Okay.
But I just the trick is you got to be sure they go first because it's gonna fire. So you got to say, you got to do the old, okay, we'll flip for it. Heads I win, tails you lose.
Okay.
And then, yeah.
This is a movie scene you're dreaming
this
of?
Is how I'm going to get somebody to, this is how I'm going to get to basically assassinate a dullard without me being arrested for it.
I was going to say, is this a drama or a dark comedy?
Dark comedy. Yeah, dark okay. comedy.
Yeah, sounds
so
like
heads I win, tails Very you dark. Lose. And he's like, oh, damn, I got to go. I gotta
Here
go
we
first.
Go.
And
then, yeah.
There will be no click.
Does the crucifix right before? They're like, no, that ain't going to work. Unless you're just trying to get into heaven, that ain't
hey,
going to work.
Hey, just in case, give me all your Bitcoin codes.
Yeah, exactly. There's a Houston Texan who I have become very fond of over the last 24 to 48 hours based solely on sound bites coming out of the locker room on Sunday after the game. And his name is Tim Settle. He's yeah. really good. We'll skip the highlight, Ben. Here is D'Amico Ryans talking about Tim Settle, the player, but then alluding at the end what a kind of a presence he is in the locker room.
Yeah, what I saw from Tim, first off, Tim's a young player. Even though he's been in the league for a while, he's still a young player who's ascending. I saw a bigger defensive lineman who has some explosive traits that are really liked on film, and just felt like getting him in our scheme would accentuate those traits even more. We would allow him to play an attack style of defense more and thought he would be really good at it. And Tim is, he's taken it. He's ran with it. He's been a really great addition to our defense. Great player to have. There's great energy. He keeps it light on the team. You need that. Tim knows how to have a good time, and he puts a smile on everyone. That's how everyone here is smiling, so I guess you guys know as well. But just love the energy that he brings to our entire team.
With Tim Settle, it's been fun to watch his progression. As we've seen with a lot of defensive tackles over the last couple of years, they start to really latch on to D'Amico's scheme. And Lovie Smith before him did some similar things with the defensive line. So you would see the similar progression of guys like Malik Collins. And the biggest thing I noticed about him at camp was like, oh, he's wide. This is a big
dude.
Yeah,
he's a big dude, man.
But he's got some wiggle to him. His money don't jiggle, but his body wiggles. He's got kind of... You know,
I do.
And that's what I told him. But he's very wide, mm-hmm. but can move. It's like when you're staring at him, you got to use both your direct and your peripheral vision.
That's right.
To get him to the point where there was a trap play in the game where Tim Settle had a tackle for a loss. The tight end's supposed to come down and wham block him. And he stopped and stood in front of him like he was the meek version of the water
boy.
Do
you blame him?
No, kind of.
Well, I mean, it's his
like,
job.
Like, he just, like, yeah. thought, yeah, like hit the guy. Try to block him. What are you doing? Right. What is with these tight ends these days? They just...
Fancy boys.
They want nothing to do with the physical part of the game, many of them.
Except Cade Stover.
Right.
And he got his appendix blown up because of it.
He attacked his own appendix.
Right.
He said, I'm tired. I got no time for useless appendages.
Have you heard Tim Settle, any of these cuts coming out of the locker room?
I haven't heard a single
Sunday?
One of these.
Okay,
I knew from when they signed him, he had some good interviews in Buffalo.
Everybody in the building says he's really, really funny.
I didn't want to embrace the personality unless he delivered on the field. He'll talk some smack about upcoming opponents here and there, too.
He will. Yeah. He'll talk about it right here coming up in a second. First of all, he was asked, this is in the locker room, open locker room after the game on Sunday after we went over the Dolphins. About Kalen Bullock's hit. Hey, do you think that Kalen Bullock is going to get disciplined? You know, are you guys going to get a rep as a dirty team? That kind of thing. He answered that question.
Are you concerned about any sort of discipline on?
No. We don't have no intentional players. Nobody tries to hurt anybody. We just playing ball. If anybody got a comment about that, yeah, y'all weird.
Y'all weird.
Yeah. You know who was? I guess Jacina Anderson was in the locker room after the game.
Oh, was that her?
Rubble. I don't know if that was her, but there was a lot of rabble rousing by her, just like going around asking players if they're dirty and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
That might have been her then. Right
yeah.
there. Okay. Interesting. Tim Settle. This plays into what you were talking about. Bit of a
wait.
P-
I don't know if it was Josina Anderson. Check.
Who was there? It was Martin from. Is it Kimberly Martin from?
No,
ESPN. I think she was in the.
Was there. I saw her, but I think somebody told me. Anyway, we'll
whatever. Yeah. Here's Tim Settle talking about. He was asked about future opponents, Kansas City and Baltimore.
Kansas City and Baltimore know what I do. They know what I bring, and there's nothing's going to change. You know, I got a sack on Lamar. I'd have been in Pat's face. I don't care. I don't care who they got blocking. I don't care who's out. I don't care who's in. I got to deal with me. That's just what it is. If you don't respect me, I'm going to make you earn it. I'm going to make you respect me.
Okay, if you took that energy and put it in Will Anderson, you would have a fascinating character.
Oh, that's one thing I like about Tim Settle. I went and watched him yesterday. He had 5 or 6 pressures in the game. He also forced a couple of holding penalties.
Yeah,
which is good.
Right.
One of them was declined, but that's as good as a sack.
It
is. When you talk about getting pushed in the pocket, it's crazy. He just doesn't. I've noticed this all year long, but he just has he goes at a slow speed, but almost like a steamroller, bull rushing people or forklifting them, straight back, on a direct line to the quarterback. And whether he makes a play on it or not, that helps the defensive end so much because quarterbacks can't step up in the pocket. So he had a really good. He had a very hydraulic press-like pass rush in that game where he just kept motoring through people.
Yep. Just to be clear, when I say you put that energy in Will Anderson, I'm not saying Will Anderson does not have energy. He's got major energy. I'm saying if you take that sort of Casey in Baltimore, guess who's coming for you? I've been in Pat's face before, and I've sacked Lamar.
Oh, yeah.
The trash talk, Gene.
That was the part that I meant to bring up, was that he dislikes offensive linemen. I can tell.
You respect that.
He just doesn't like them. Oh, he knows what they are. They're lazy frauds. if you're a real man, you'd be on this side of the ball.
I found a kindred spirit.
No, because it's not just. I made a tweet yesterday, and people thought I was talking about the Texans specifically. Anytime I watch film, and I see offensive tackles or offensive linemen or tight ends just standing around while the play's still going on, when they're you could be looking for work, it disgusts me.
Yeah.
It makes me so sick. What is wrong with you? Why are you turning down action? Why are you not seeking out somebody to try to kill?
They've got a good seat to the action on the field. They want to watch.
Lazy.
Why would you distract yourself with work when you've got really good seats to a game?
Not all offensive linemen, but enough. The offensive linemen and tight ends they just stand they block one guy and they stand there and look at their work instead of going
out to
find somebody else.
They block one guy and then want to talk to their union rep before they block a second guy.
I counted at least 7 shots.
Do I get time and a half for blocking this second guy?
I counted at least 7 shots that Tim Settle took on offensive linemen as Tim Settle was on his way to the ball.
You love
that. Just if he ran past an offensive lineman that was just standing there, boom, forearm shiver on his way to
you're allowed
in pursuit.
To. Yeah. It's approved violence, man. All right, headlines coming up next. D'Amico Ryans was asked, do you think Patrick Mahomes is going to play? We'll see what his answer was. Monday Night Football last night. If you were brave enough to stay up and watch that, we'll get to the final scores on that for you as well. It's coming up next in headlines. Stay there.